That's the Soweto String Quartet with I Want to Know What Love Is. And it's a kind of an indirect plea, actually, because what we're getting out of Washington certainly ain't love. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It's Thursday, October the 10th, day 10 of the partial government shutdown, and 7 days before a hard deadline on a still unarticulated bipartisan plan for covering the nation's almost $17 trillion debt. And what do you know? There's good news, we're told. And what might that be? Well, it seems that there's a plan put forward by Republicans. They announced it just about 20 minutes or so ago, that they would vote to extend the government's ability to borrow, but that doesn't mean that they are removing the shutdown at all. The shutdown remains in place, and they're going to give this effort at supposedly a bipartisan agreement at coming up with a plan to cover the government's debts. They'll give us a six-week window, and we all should be happy and should be dancing in the streets. Well, of course, we don't know what the president's view of this offer is by John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, but we know that there is an invitation extended to all of the members, the Republican members of Congress, to the White House to have a chat, which is what the Republicans have been saying, that they want more than anything. They want to have, quote, a conversation, unquote, as to the immediate direction of the country and what exactly would pass as a budget. But the Republicans already have indicated that they're not all going to go. There will be a team who would be the emissary team, you know, just like the old days of war. You know, we'll send our guys, you send your guys, and they'll come back and bring us the message. So this is what's supposed to happen today. And we are all to be grateful somewhat because, of course, this is a glimmer of hope. And the one thing we haven't had much of in the last several months is hope. In response, the Wall Street community is showing a bit of relief because they're celebrating the fact that the stock market has become a little brisker in the last hour or so. And in a way, you know, that's what it's all about, really. It's about money, and it's about power that goes with money. What I want to talk about today is a bit going back to the theme I started some weeks ago about discussing what is this notion of democracy that we have. How do we measure it? What are the litmus tests? And we, of course, are failing the litmus tests big time. So I want to talk about the fact that what we have is not democracy, but kakistocracy. That is government by the worst, most unprincipled elements of our society. That's what we have. You know what they say, beef, it's what's for dinner. Kakistocracy is what we have for government. All this that has been going on in Washington, D.C. is supposed actually to inspire us about the strength of our so-called republic, which holds or adheres to the so-called practice of democracy. We are supposed to interpret this fighting, indecision, just isolation from and insulation against the people as democracy in action. Because the United States, which is, as you know, the epitome of exceptionalism. Our president actually said that in the General Assembly, we are an exceptional nation. And I suppose that we have been exceptional, too, in the way this system operates. It's very exceptional, which is why polls are showing that people are just disgusted and fed up. And in many instances are resorting to what would seem to be very bizarre behavior. It is bizarre when you think about it, acting out in violent ways. Just yesterday we had a retired police officer in West Virginia who just found himself a comfortable position from which to fire an AK-47 into the government building. And nobody could figure out why he did it, except the theory is he was fed up of the government itself. People are beginning to show, and these are clues, that they have had it, because while these two elephants are fighting, it's the grass that's losing. The people are caught between two wholly repugnant systems. And there's no way, apparently, for them to change it. It's not speeding up. It's not slowing down, because that's what the people want. It's not listening. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And yet, it is in power. It can't be dislodged. And the numerous polls that have shown utter and complete discontent with the situation, the intolerable situation that we have in Washington, it's not making them behave any differently. And here we see no difference between Republicans and Democrats. Their ideologies are dead or deadening. There's no life in these systems. They bring death and misery. Together, they have created a bifurcated America on racial grounds, on economic grounds. We have yawning gaps between the people who are wealthy and those who, well, the rest of us. That's basically the two divisions now of American society. Even President Carter found it necessary to comment about that. The poor, he said, of today were the middle class of his time when he was in office. He said this as he was participating in the Habitat for Humanity effort to build homes, affordable housing for people who simply don't have it. So the government has lost its soul. Not that it ever had, but you can say there was a time, at least in recent memory, we can recall, even within the context of all the atrocities that were witnessed over those last decades, there was still a feeling that there was a heart, a conscience, a kind of moral suasion in government. It doesn't exist. These people are in your face. They want to do what they want to do and what they need to do, because they are completely beholden to forces that we suspect, and we suspect that those forces are not, we clear about that, those forces are not us. We, the people, forget that, just scratch that off of any preamble that you've ever read, that no longer applies. We are not the people. We are the prey, P-R-E-Y, EY, and government has taken on a decidedly predatory character. It is feeding on the people. It is sucking up their oxygen. It is sucking up their oxygenated blood for their anemic. And it is heaping penalty upon penalty upon penalty so that life itself is a penalty. Life itself is a chore. It is a rough thing to really wake up in the morning and try to get through the day without having some kind of thought, some kind of anxiety about what your immediate future would look like. I don't recall in recent memory the universality of this feeling. Every person I talk to, it's the topic. They're scared, unsure, they're worried, and fearful. And that sickening thought, really, is exactly what these guys in DC, that's exactly where they want us. There's a perverse sense of satisfaction that they can reduce the people to a state of just stress and fear and uncertainty. And because it is clear that there's no effect to turning this anger outward, because people have been yelling and screaming all along. This is not the way it's supposed to go. They proceed with their plan because we are not the plan. We're just merely incidental to it. We are the people who basically are factors in the plan. Just like this Obamacare, it is not health care. It's not healthcare at all. Gary was quite correct the other day, but he made the observation. This is insurance care. This is to take care of the insurance community. The Obamacare plan is simply the idea that you must buy something you may or may not need or may or may not want. But the government has now been taken over, as we discussed with our guest the other day, Josh Blackman. This government has just gone wide open on the people, firing at us. And we know we have the evidence before us. We can't do anything to make this stop. People are setting themselves on fire on the mall. People are doing all kinds of things that would seem to be strange, but it is, I believe, I strongly believe, it is the internalization of this stress and of this feeling that nothing is safe anymore, not even life itself. Because a bunch of folks in Washington, D.C. have the power and authority to do to you whatever they will. There's no system of checks and balances. And there's no good guys and bad guys. They're all bad guys. I see the Rolling Stone and other so-called liberal media taking sides, supporting the position, the unsupportable position of the Democrats. Who in their right mind, looking at the conduct of this Democratic administration, could actually say that, compared to the Republicans, they're the ones who are trying to do the right thing, and it's the Republicans who are trying to do the bad thing. They're all awash. If the world were fair, and if in fact we did have some kind of democratic mechanism so that the will of the people would actually be registered and be effective, it would be a situation of clearing the decks of all of them, dissolving the government because it has proven itself repeatedly to be incompetent and incapable of leadership. I mean, if you were to put it in terms of the private sector, where on the planet would it be considered normal and acceptable that an employee would repeatedly underperform, even to the detriment of the company, would be stealing the resources of the company and using them at will, obeying no rules, habitually late, unable to fulfill their job description, and yet still have a job and protections against being fired summarily from the job with documented proof of all the ways that they have absolutely abrogated the contract. We have a renegade government. It's as simple as that. A renegade government. They're out of control, and although it likes to point to places like Iran and Egypt and Libya and say, look what they look like. A really horrible organization over there running things. We have no faith in that system. But supposedly, Americans are supposed to have faith in this system, which is not producing desirable results. In what I have called consistently the strategic resources of our society, and they're not that many, they're about six. Housing, affordable housing, employment, healthcare. We talk about safety, and in safety I mean your physical safety in your community. That's a resource. In none of these ways do you see marked improvement. And in none of these things is the government responding appropriately. I mean, the right to eat, to have food. That's a resource. Both Democrats and Republicans differ only in degree. Only in degree, not in the general concept, but only in degree. Housing, they differ only in degree as to how much housing should be made available, or if housing should be made available and affordable. This government is, it has run its course. It is now to be seen as a pariah government. This is a pariah government, a rogue government. And it is a kakistocracy. KAKISTOCRACY. People who are in charge of our collective lives who have no principles. They're the worst of the worst. That's what we've got. It should be very instructive to people who tend to describe themselves as liberals and progressives and all that, basically talking about the Obama people who think that this is a great precedent. I'm hoping that each step of the way they've been measuring his actions, and that you see not only are they close to the draconian conservative elements, there's no difference here between Obama and the Tea Party on many things. And just wait, it's going to get worse, because in order for him to retain that part of the constituency that is most precious to him, and that's the people with money, he's going to have to become even more conservative than he already is. We see no rules that people won't break in government. In Washington, D.C., there's nothing sacred. No sacred cows exist except the military defense industry. I mean, in the shutdown, the government wasn't even willing to pay death benefits to the soldiers' families, those soldiers who had lost their lives. When a country reaches that level, you should have no use for it. It is no longer tenable in anybody's mind who is reasonably, you know, you have a sense of decency and morality about things. This government doesn't have any decency left. None. So it is a write-off, and that is where we ought to come. We ought to come to this conclusion that as things stand, there are more things against this government than for it. There are more negatives than positives, more debits than credits, and it applies to all of them, Democrats and Republicans alike. If we really had a healthy system of checks and balances, they would all be dismissed. New elections declared, new candidates coming forward with new ideas and new plans, and a new government should be formed. And clearly, since with all the minds that we have in Washington, D.C., and they can't find a solution, it means that the wrong people were chosen. You know, I have a friend who is a public health official in a major city on the East Coast. And one day he went to get his hair cut in a mall, one of those, you know, haircuttery type things. So he went to get his hair cut and was promptly told that they couldn't cut his type of hair. So the owner, he asked for the owner because that was puzzling. It said, your hair cutting establishment, what do you mean you don't cut this type of hair? And the owner herself said, well, you know, your kind of hair is very, very curly, and we don't really cut that type of hair. We don't do well with it. And he said, okay, and left, and returned about half an hour later, along with two police officers, and he ordered the place to be shut down immediately. They barely had time to get their pocketbooks. He just closed the place down. And howls of protest from the owner. She found out that he was, in fact, the person who licensed the establishment, considering that he was the head of the health department. And he said, well, inasmuch as you admitted that you cannot cut my type of hair, it means that you earned your license fraudulently. So your place is shut down. You can always reapply when you've gone through the necessary training to cut hair. When you've done that, reapply for your license, and we'll see. Now, that's the kind of resolve we ought to have as citizens. The government isn't working, shut it down. Immediately shut it down. Why? Because they've had the benefit of time, they've had the benefit of doubt, and they failed spectacularly on both counts. They deserve no further consideration, no leniency. Just shut it down. It is of no use. In fact, it has gone the other side, the flip side. It is now a predator. It is now feeding on us as if we were, you know, collectively, we are carcass. What's at stake? Their own notions of power and importance. Their own delusions that they are actually fulfilling the will of the people. They have gone to the other side. They are despots. They're dictators. They're all the slimy adjectives we have reserved for other countries that we consider pariah countries. That's what they are. Sure, they dress up in nice silk ties and pearls. But make no mistake, these people have lost their souls. They've lost their minds. And they present themselves as if they have good intentions and if they are exerting the constitutionally imbued duties and doing so in the best spirit of, you know, being a system of checks and balances and actually living out the true meaning of the word democracy. What does that mean for us? We have to be clear about what it is we're looking at. And this at the national level is not confined to the national level. We have the same attitude happening in state governments, in local governments, even in community-based government. We have renegades all over the place. And the last thing they're interested in is acting with the aggregate good of the people in mind and accountability. This president has converted the White House into a bunker. It is now, you know, a war zone, and he has converted his office, not as president of the United States, he's now, you know, the chief executive, all by himself. He's got a whole country all to himself. People in Congress have this view that, well, if he could do it, we could do it even better. So we are going, our job is to make his life miserable. They're not discussing people yet. And we heard from Josh Blackman, in the way the constitutional issue that gave us Obamacare, that even a Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court broke the rules and wrote legislation. That's not his job, in order to get this thing passed. And his was the deciding vote. This is, so all, you see a kind of a quadrangulation, if there's such a word, I would invent it, of exceptionalism. The people in the House think there are exceptions. The people in the Senate think they're exceptions. The president certainly has said, he said he certainly believes in exceptionalism. And now we have the U.S. Supreme Court, the one mechanism that should give us some degree of stasis. It's out of control, too. So scratch the notion for the moment, for the next 3 years at least, that this is some kind of a democratic ideal. We don't have it. We have government by the unprincipled, by the lowest forms of people who end up in elected office. And we should be worrying more about us. What's good for us in the aggregate sense? What's good for this country? What's good for us? And what's good is a government that respects the will of the people. So where you can determine that they haven't, you punish it severely. Don't even hiccup about it. Don't even waste a moment. Don't tense up. Just do it. They all must be punished severely. It's time for both parties to die. They've served whatever it is they think they're serving, but it's not in the interest of the people. This particular period that we're in, which is the direct result of the ineffectiveness of both parties, we should discard the notion that they are to be saved. They're beyond that. We are to be saved. So how do we save us? First, we must punish them. They have to be punished. But we also have to construct healthy alternatives to the thing that has no longer has any benefit to us, really. There's got to be a different system. The two-party system does not work. We've had enough examples of that stretching across several administrations. But we are at a very hugely defining moment in our collective history. And that is, the government is at war with the people. The government is isolated against them, insulated against them. The government is now feeding on them to satisfy hidden interests. They are not accountable to the people. They are accountable to corporations and the wealthy. They're more concerned about their happiness and their well-being rather than the collective. So we have to reconstruct, and this is an urgent situation. We have to construct our own response, and our own response, at the very least, should be homegrown, organically raised leadership. People who have not really serve the needs of suffering people, they ought to go. Nothing personal, they just got to go. And it's fair. It's fair that they be fired. We could not, in our own work experience, do these kinds of things and still have a job. And these folks are being maintained by the largesse of the people. So it's whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they are guaranteed $174,000 a year, plus perks, plus a whole bunch of other things. So that's a new word for us to consider. Democracy is out. Kakistocracy, government by the most unprincipled people, the worst elements in our society, is in. We'll take a break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888 right after these program notes. This is Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and your calls at 888-874-4888. I have a couple of notes from people writing on leadstories@gmail.com. Jerry says, the shutdown should tell us, but it won't, that the U.S. legislative and executive branches do not care about the average U.S. citizen. And we will get the shaft after it's all over. We have Steve saying, to get better people in Congress, we should go back to 1806 when Congress received no pay. If you could not afford to serve, you don't run for office. This is the meaning of public service. Do you think they will relinquish the power freely? I can only wish that I lived that long. Dolores from Ohio, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello, you, Therese.
Hello.
I just, within the last 6 months have learned about PRN, and I am so grateful to the fact that I have an internet radio in my kitchen and I can listen to you folks all the time.
Thank you. I'm glad about that.
I'm loving most of what I hear, and I see that I have evolved so much over the years to come to agree finally with exactly what you just talked about before the break, that the two parties are totally in no way are they representing what we thought they had come to represent over the years. I'm so disheartened by all of the things I saw our president do ever since his election, the fact that single payer was not even on the table, the fact that no negotiating for reduced drug prices was possible. But I kept thinking, oh, he can't act too drastically right away. He's got to kowtow to the opposition. Well, one thing after another, from the whistleblowers being attacked, I have to say, I'm not sure that's the right word, so much in the drone business, and then even the thought of sending missiles into Syria. It's gone from one thing to another, to another, to another. And at the core of the whole issue, I firmly believe, is the power of the tremendously wealthy who are at the top of the pyramid, controlling the mega conglomerate, corporate industrial corporations, the petrochemical, the medical pharmaceutical, the banking and finance, those top guys are running the world, and they are running us into the ground. So the one thing I have identified to work on is the Move to Amend campaign to get a constitutional amendment passed that removes corporations from protections under the Bill of Rights. Right now, cigarette companies can advertise on school playgrounds and close to schools because they have the free speech rights. Monsanto can sell bovine growth hormone to dairy farmers who put it into their cattle, and the dairy producers do not have to label that because corporations have a free speech, the freedom of speech not to speak. And here we are, the only democracy in the world that does not have GMO labeling on products. The only thing I can see to do right now is to cut the underpinnings from these corporate mega conglomerates, and the way to start is the Move to Amend campaign. Right now here in our local town, we have it on the ballot this November. We're spreading the word, and we're part of, I think it's close to 500 communities across the country that have passed similar resolutions. 16 state legislatures have passed resolutions sending word to Congress that we want a constitutional amendment to take this constitutional protection away from corporations, which were not intended to be considered persons with the rights of human beings under our Bill of Rights. And I'll stop right now. I realize I've gone on too long.
No, I mean, it's great listening to you, because what I'm hearing is a person who probably, I mean, let's say 5-10 years ago, you probably had, you know, you were like most everybody, you had some idea of what was going on, but there has been a transformation. You have gone through a very profound awakening in terms of your relationship to the apparatus of government, and you have decided, I am government too, and that's great.
Exactly, Utrice. Exactly. The transformation, I mean, I knew Bill Clinton was a corporate Democrat because of what he did with NAFTA And I saw in Barack Obama so much that I read his books and I campaigned and knocked on doors and made phone calls and sent money left and right. And then I find out it's just a sham. Nobody on, they're not representing us. They're representing the powers who choose to run them for office. Even mm-hmm. from that point, the powers that determine who is even going to be up there as a candidate are way beyond us. We've lost track of it because of the money in politics, the money. To get the money out of politics, and it's just baffling.
But you know what? Your call today is a really wonderful glimmer of hope, and I hope people catch on and duplicate your spirit, which is great. Thanks, Dolores, for calling.
Thank you, Utrecht.
Thank you. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
How are you, Utrecht? I'm going
fine,
real
thank you.
Quick.
How are you?
It seems as though Kwame Kilpatrick got 28 years for what happened in Detroit, so I guess he's the scapegoat.
He's not the scapegoat. The man looted his city. The man was an irresponsible leader.
But I'm saying, Utrecht, he wasn't the only one. I'm just saying he's the scapegoat that's going to get the most time. But you're right, and I agree with you. But 28 years, I don't think that's fair. But I just also want to say this. It seems as though this whole debt ceiling and everything is about to play out in a sense like you said it would. The real thing that was at stake during this whole debacle was entitlement programs. And it seems like this is the way that the Republicans are going to get what they really, really wish for with the assistance and the help of a Republican, President Barack Obama. Now, most people...
You're calling the Barack Obama a Republican now.
Oh, he's a Republican. But believe me, you know it.
But here's
that speaks about Ronald Reagan and the manner in which he was a Republican.
I remember. But you know, Jay, what I want us to really consider is that the Republicans are not even being Republicans.
True.
The Republicans have long left that group. They no longer deal with the ideology. What I'm saying is, it's such a rogue situation. You can't call these people Republicans because it's insulting to the long established ideology of Republicanism. These are just renegades. The Democrats are the same thing. They're not adhering to whatever it is the Democratic Party is supposed to stand for. These are renegades. They've all gone off in these weird corners and are doing things that are really adverse to the professed philosophies of their own parties.
It's a game, Utrecht, of smoke and mirrors. That's all it is. And it's being played out on the lines that most people are not really politically astute to what both parties are, and they don't understand that they're being manipulated and played on because they don't listen to people like yourself. I have learned more from you and have fought with people more about the things that you have said and getting them to just go to the archives and listen to shows that you have done on Obamacare. But then when they finally submit and go and listen to the archives on your shows of Obamacare, they start to think. And then they start to ask questions. And the sad thing is that most people believe in these glorified TV talk shows and really don't listen to people like yourself who are astute students of this smoke and mirror game. So like I said, Obama is about to capitulate like he always does, give them everything that they wish for, that he believes in, because he doesn't want us to have it, because if he did want people to have a strong Social Security and all other entitlement programs to better the country and have a safety net for all of us that are suffering at this time, you know, he would address it in the manner that he should. But, you know, we'll be talking about this in a couple of months, making more excuses for him when the elections come up for reelecting these jokers. But have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks so much. DX from L.A., you're on the air.
Hello, Idris. How are you doing? Good. This is just what I called in last, or was it last week? Yeah, and made a comment that it's like wrestling. You know what I mean? What we have here is, first of all, the two parties. We don't have two parties. They're all two heads of the same snake. And what's going on is theater. Barack Obama doesn't believe in any of these programs that get ready to slash. And what we have in this country is basically slow motion austerity. Now, I believe, and we're seeing now, that the Republicans have gotten off of this thing about Obamacare. I don't know if you heard that, but I heard this morning that now the issue isn't Obamacare, it's the deficit. And they're back to the deficit and slashing programs. And he has agreed, Obama has agreed, to put Social Security back on the table and some other things. See, this is what this is what was about in the first place. And like I said, it's like wrestling. One of them gets on camera and talks about the other one. Well, you're not cooperating. We don't like you and blah, blah, blah. But this is all acting, and we're all being duped. And what we need to do here, I agree with the lady that called in before about the move to amend, but we also...
Dolores, yeah.
Doris, yeah, she was...
Dolores,
yeah.
Yes.
She was very astute, and she was correct on that. Also, what we need to do is divest from their corporations. Take your money out of their banks, stop shopping at these big mega stores, you know, Walmart, Kmart, all this, Target and all that, just divest. If people would do that, then it would bring it to its knees, and then we'd have to have another party, at least another party or something like that, to get it back on track. So that's what I see here. Is this was all a plan. They're using this, what they call the... you know, government shutdown to just basically say, well, at first they were saying it's Obamacare. We don't like that. We're trying to repeal that. But now they're off of that, and they're on to the, like I said, the entitlements, the Social Security and all that. And Obama's getting ready to go ahead and let them or cooperate in slashing those is what he's getting ready to do. So I believe he knew it all the time. The Republicans knew it all the time. Even most of the Democrats now and in the Senate knew it all the time. This is what they want to get to. So I just want to tell people that we're all being duped and we need to stop listening to these people because they're all just pretending and acting.
Well, thank you. Thanks for that contribution.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, in the end, what we need to see is more not what they're doing. They've already shown enough. We've already been presented with more than enough evidence to know or to decide that the system is no longer tenable. It no longer is tenable. So there's got to be something else in place of it. The one job that we have, on the one hand, is we have to punish the system for being so outrageous in its conduct and in the lethal consequences that they've doled out to Americans. I mean, this is wrong. This is not the way the government is supposed to act or to feel. We should not be feeling the burden of government this way. And without the ability, without the leverage to directly, you know, rein them in. So they have to be punished in that sense. But the other part of it is building something else to replace it. Just got this in that we need the ability to vote no confidence to eject elected officials from office when they do not do the job of the people. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The mindset that there is a compact, whether they recognize it or not, whether government officials recognize it or not, the implication of public office is you have some group of people that you account to and you represent, and therefore their needs, their wishes, their concerns are paramount. Nobody was elected to just be your personal, you know, you have your personal opinion. I don't care about your personal opinion. But to have this kind of an attack, literally, the government is attacking, and it makes no difference. The Democrats are doing it. The Republicans are doing it. The few independents, people like Bernie Sanders, I mean, sometimes you feel sorry for the guy because in the situation with Obamacare, he endorses it. But really, I know that he couldn't possibly be comfortable with that decision. So when these things occur, it is absolutely imperative that people do something, not just talk, but do something. On the one hand, you punish, and on the other hand, you build. It's, you have to do both things. Get rid of them, and then get something else going at the same time. That's what you have to do. Thanks for your call. We've come to the end of our program today, and I hope, well, I've enjoyed it. I always enjoy talking a lot to people and have people talk. It's a lot of education you can get from the three calls we had today. There was so much shared, and also from those who sent in their opinions on the email. Thank you so much. Let's get together again tomorrow at the same time to share some information and opinions and ideas. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Occupied Territory with Mike Fader. Take care.